was buried and rose again, they can have a new life in Christ. That's the greatest act of mercy. Every inner city mission that feeds people without preaching the gospel is as useless as someone who preaches the gospel and never feeds them.
That's right. That is amen, right.
Amen. It should be both.
That's right.
And that's what God wants. Jesus said it in Matthew 9:13, "But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And then verse 4 continues, "Grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel." Now, only those who serve God with faith and serve God faithfully should expect God to honor them with what it is you desire. First of all, the desires of your heart are dictated by the condition of your heart. So if your heart is right with God, your desires will be in line and in tune with God.
Amen.
If the desire of your heart is to win the lottery, ain't going to happen. That's not one of God. Now, of course, you go play it and you win it, more power to you, but it isn't going to be by God. That'd be the other God, small g. Yeah. That'll be the God giving you that. God's not in that. But you serve God by faith, which means by the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You serve Him faithfully, then you can look for accomplishment in your life. And you can look for God to give you success when you're the one leading, when you're the one giving counsel. And that has borne out in a lot of churches. Pastoral leadership. But I don't have time to get into all that. So verse 5, we'll close with this. Read that with me. "We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions." Now, first of all, turn over to Philippians chapter 3. Yeah, keep your finger. Always keep your finger there, but whatever our text is, we will always come back to it. But Philippians chapter 3 and verse 1. And then Jenny Miller, if you're there, read that. And then Jenny Albaugh, when you get to Philippians 4:4, I'll have you read that. So Jenny Miller, you read Philippians 3:1.
"Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe."
Rejoice in the Lord. We will rejoice in thy salvation, the psalmist says. Jenny Albaugh, read 4:1. Is it 4:4? I'm sorry.
4:4. "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice."
Isn't that pretty simple, plain, straightforward? We should always rejoice in the Lord. I'll tell you, there's many times where bad news happens. I don't think Jenny might be mentioning this. Her mom's in pretty bad shape. We've been through this with other folks. And if this is her time and she goes to heaven, there will be some tears.
Amen.
And just the fact she's going through this brings tears. But at the same time, we can rejoice because she is a child of God.
Amen.
We know where she goes, when she goes.
Amen.
We know who's got her in His hand as she goes through this right now. So even in those times, don't try to be a super spiritual robot and act like you don't have feelings. There's nothing wrong with grieving. But Paul said in the rapture text that we don't sorrow as those who have no hope. It doesn't say we don't sorrow, but we don't sorrow as those who have no hope. When Jesus was getting ready to raise Lazarus, He wept. So if Jesus is going to sorrow over a death of somebody He's about to raise, I think it's only pretty normal and natural that we're going to have times of sorrow, but we can rejoice always, even in sorrow.
Can you rejoice, like you said, like her mom is safe,
But how are you to rejoice when the person that passed away or who is very close doesn't know Christ?
Is lost. It's normal and reasonable for you to grieve over that. But you can still rejoice in the fact that you know Jesus died for them. Jesus would have saved them. And Jesus has saved you and many others. So you just look at the reality. As much as you love that person, it's their fault.
Yeah, that's right.
You can rejoice in the fact that God would have saved them. God did everything necessary to save them. But it was their choice. And so you can still rejoice in the reality you serve such a wonderful God that if that person would have, they could have been saved. You, Mark? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't think he would do it, you know, for years.
Amen.
He was so hardened about everything. He'd make fun of me for what I said. I mean, just very cold, calculating remarks.
And all those years done away with. He's saved, and we know where he's at, and we can rejoice.
Amen.
But I want you to look, as we're getting ready to close it up, but I just a couple more things to point out here. It says, and in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. Now, ever since I was a newborn Christian, I've gone to church services and concerts, and I've listened to tapes and things, and over, I've heard the preachers get up there and discourage people from obeying that text. It says, and in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. What's a banner?
Banners.
We got some in here.
Yeah.
A banner is any, it could be a t-shirt. It could be a bumper sticker. It could be a flag.
Amen.
It could be, you know, a sign, a banner, literally called banners or whatever. It's any way in which you literally fly your colors as a Christian. And a lot of times those can be just like that sign back there, have the gospel on them. Other times, you know, we've got the different Jesus is God. Christ died for sinners. Are you saved? You know, bumper stickers got to be short and sweet. You don't want to cause a wreck when someone's trying to read. But I've had people, I've gone to these concerts and things, and they said, you know, I just don't think Christians should be, you know, putting on all these t-shirts and bumper stickers. And they're the same people who say, instead of being so loud about your faith, why not just live it? As we were talking about downstairs. And they're the same people who preach that called lifestyle evangelism. Folks, that is what has got us where we are today. Perverted Bibles, perverted Gospels where they don't call on anyone to repent and a lot of times don't even preach the Gospel. And this perverted methodology where you go in the closet. When the queers came out, the Christians went in. They wave their flags.
Amen.
Go over to Worthington, you can see the gay flags, call them fag flags, all over the place. Proud! Pride! Well, we're not to be proud. We're to be humble, but we're to rejoice, and we are to, in the name of our God, set up our banners. Now, I know some people have cars, maybe you can't put a bumper sticker on for one reason or another. My dad had a company car. And you weren't allowed to put anything on there, like an NRA sticker or anything like that. But if you don't have a reason not to, then the other thing is, do you drive like a devil? Then don't put a bumper sticker on there.
Yeah.
You know. So there are reasons not to put bumper stickers on your car, but it doesn't have to be. T-shirts, well, some people don't like wearing T-shirts with anything on them. Well, okay, whatever your hang-up is, find a way to set up the banners in God's name. And I can't speak for anybody else, but I'm going to set up my banners. You go by my house right now, it looks like a military complex. It does. I got the Blue Lives Matter, the Betsy Ross, the Trump 2020, the United States flag, you know, the regular old glory. And, you know, I got them lit up at night. It's awesome. And then that's for the election. But I also have a sign, a scripture sign. And when the election is over, we go right into the Christmas message. And we have the whole the Christmas. And I got these little flags, and the Christian flag like this one right here goes up. Thanksgiving is the start of when I turn all the lights on. But we put our flags and signs out, though, before then. And then after Christmas is over, I just change to different signs and flags. And I just always, people drive by my house, I've always got something out there. Drive behind me in the car. Am I telling you have to do that? No. Maybe your front yard is not the place, your car is not the place, whatever. But you find something. Now, if you're not doing it because you're a coward, then shame on you. If you've got some good reason not to do it, then you've got that reason. But I have a feeling there's a lot of cowards not doing it. Amen. And I'm not judging any of you. You don't have anything on your car out there right now? I just assume you got your reasons. If I drive you by your house and it doesn't look like a military complex, I figure you got your reasons. Some of you live in neighborhoods and might get your house burned down. And Doug's been accosted for his All Lives Matter sign in his front yard by a Karen. But, folks, I'm just being real with you. There was a time where I didn't do any of these things, and I realized, you know, the only reason I'm doing it is cowardice and peer pressure. And I'm like, I'm not going to worry about it anymore. Somebody thinks I'm a kook for doing it, let them think it. One last thing I want to... Well, there's a couple scriptures, by the way. Song of Solomon 6:4. Thou art beautiful, O my love, as Tirzah, comely as Jerusalem, terrible as an army with banners. Banners do something. They just do something. That's why the military spends so much time on it, money. And Isaiah 13:2, lift ye up a banner upon the high mountain. Exalt the voice unto them, shake the hand, that they may go into the gates of the nobles. Banners. It's just, hey, go back in Numbers 10, they called standards. But they had a flag for each one of the tribes. And finally, in closing verse 5, he says, the Lord fulfill all thy petitions. That's what it means to pray and to ask, to pray and to seek God's help. Matthew Henry says this in his commentary on this text. Even the greatest of men must be much in prayer. David, though a man of business, a man of war, was constant to his devotions. Though he had prophets and priests and many good people among his subjects to pray for him, he did not think that excused him from praying for himself. Let none expect benefit by the prayers of the church or of their ministers or friends for them who are capable of praying for themselves and yet neglect it. I wonder how many times, let's just keep it in house here, how many times among us maybe we had asked people to pray for us and we didn't get an answer to prayer and we got mad at God. And if God were to speak audibly, he'd say, I heard your friends, but I didn't hear you. If this was so important, why didn't you bring it up? Amen. We love praying for your requests. Those online, send them to bbfohio@protonmail.com. We pray over those requests. But fill out your little prayer card. We pray over those requests. But if you aren't praying, don't expect much. That's what it's saying. Can you say, oh me? Okay, then, too proud to do that. Say amen. Oh me. I'm preaching to myself as much as anybody. There have been times that I asked people to pray for me. And I really didn't pray about it myself the way I ought to. So what should I expect? Just the same thing your child would expect of you if they wouldn't do what they're supposed to do. If you're a good parent, you don't reward that. You don't reward bad behavior. Amen? Let's have a closing word of prayer. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this psalm and the first five verses that we gleaned Scripture with Scripture, seeing so many wonderful truths. We thank You for this book, the King James Version.
Amen.
And we thank You for this building we're in where the church meets. We thank You for this local church and everyone in it.
Amen.
We just thank You for so much that is only ours because we are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. We have been baptized into the body of Christ spiritually, the Holy Spirit baptizing us into the body. And because of that, we have so many benefits, so many blessings, and all the promises of Your Word. Thank You. We love You. Thank You for saving us. And thank You for the promise to come and take us home. In Jesus' name, amen.
Song, isn't it?